Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Line Brawl by Bianca Summerland, narrated by Aiden Snow. A few words from Pish. Call me easy, and let me give it to you straight. You don't want a man like me. What you want is a man who will say all the right things, who will sweep you off your feet and make your heart race as you fall in love. He'll give you the happily ever after every woman secretly dreams of. The man you really want has probably dreamt of that too. My dreams are simpler. In this moment, all I need is the taste of your lips, the feel of your flesh. Right now I can make you feel things you've never dared to imagine. That you couldn't imagine because the things you've experienced fit into a neat little box. Even the kinky stuff. So before you begin, let me tell you the rules. I am not interested in long term. I don't tolerate jealousy. If you fall for me, you will get hurt. So be damn sure you keep your heart out of the game. And it is a game. A game where no one has to lose. The prize is an experience you'll never forget. A beautiful memory. But you can't keep me. Chapter 1. Early May. Why had he ever thought it would just be an easy, no-regrets fuck? Because everyone's right. You are stupid. Ian White stepped up to the door of his best friend's apartment, a place he'd once spent more time at than his own, and for the first time couldn't bring himself to just walk in. He had the damn key, on the Deadpool keychain Pish had given him. But he left it in his pocket. Things were different. I fucked up. But this was freaking Sean Easy Pishler. Sex didn't mean a thing to him, no matter who it was with. But some lines couldn't be crossed, and Ian had trampled all over them like the big dumb meathead he was. Fine, Pish had fucked other friends, but he didn't see them all the time. He had his rules and made sure everyone understood them before he worked them out of their clothes and did what he was so fucking good at. He was a damn good dom because he was observant, though, and he'd caught White's slip when he'd said his name while they were. Don't fall in love with me or anything, Bruiser. I'll break your heart. Love. Screw that. Falling in love with Pish was the fastest way to get him to fucking disappear, and no way was Ian gonna risk that. Not for sex. Not for anything. They'd had fun, shared a hot chick. That was over, and now things could go back to normal. Then why are you still standing in the fucking hall? He jabbed his hand into his pocket to grab the key. The door opened, revealing Pish with a smirk on his lips as he leaned against the doorframe. Finally grew your balls back, Bruiser. Ian scowled, staring at the center of Pishler's bare, tattooed chest, because he couldn't deal with that damn arrogance aimed at him. Not now. I just came to get my comic book. I wasn't sure if you were still sleeping. It's past noon. Yeah, but you were out late last night at the club. Probably fucking some cute little twink that some dom, or dom, had decided they wanted to share. Someone who wouldn't get all fucking confused and imagine the man would want more. Maybe Vanek again. He ground his teeth and pictured the Dartmouth Cobra's golden boy, Tyler Vanek, all small and wiry and in love with his master and mistress. Perfect for Pish to play with. You jealous? He blinked at the weird little voice in his head he was sure had never been there before. He so needed to hack the source up into little pieces and bury it. Don't think so hard, you'll stress yourself out. Pish gave him a playful slap on the arm. Come in. And don't lie to me about why you're here. You gave me that comic book as a peace offering. Yeah, I did. And he didn't really want it back. But he couldn't think of a better excuse, so screw it, he'd pretend he was desperate to get his hands on the damn thing. I know, but I still haven't read that one yet. Can I borrow it? Sure. Pish's brow creased slightly as he held the door wide open, waiting for Ian to pass. Sorry for being an asshole. I thought you came to get laid. The laugh escaped Ian before what Pish had said fully registered. He blinked, stopping with one foot over the threshold. He glared at Pish. "Are you fucking serious?" A careless expression smoothing all the lines on his face, Pish lifted a shoulder. "Not that I'd mind, but I had to mess with you a bit. Keep things light." "Course you did." Ian made his way across the hall, heading to the kitchen to grab one of the beers from the case he'd bought last week. He twisted the cap, taking a few gulps since his mouth was suddenly fucking dry, and he couldn't face Pish yet. This was why fucking Pish had been the most phenomenally stupid thing he'd ever done in his life. He'd be shoved into the potential repeat fuck category, so long as he didn't get too comfortable. He liked how comfortable things had been before. "Hey, I thought we were good. What's eating at you, White?" Pishler's voice came from much too close. He touched the small of Ian's back. And Ian almost broke another tooth on the lip of the beer bottle. He took a deep breath and managed not to jerk away or move closer. This man should be illegal without a damn prescription. One with a warning might cause fatal addiction. His gaze went to Pish's bare feet first, which was safe enough. He had a tattoo on one foot, barbed wire that looked pretty real with 17 spikes and the words, "Keep moving even when it hurts," in long, elegant script. Deep. Pish's tattoos were all full of meaning, most of which Ian didn't get, and people who paid attention to them might see him as a sensitive man. But he wasn't. Pish was damn tough. Ian was tough himself, but he wasn't sure he could deal with the pain of a needle jabbing into his damn foot. "There a reason you're not looking at me, man?" Pish put his hand on Ian's shoulder, turning him fully. Giving Ian no choice but to meet his eyes, eyes that were an odd green shade like fog over the lush green prairies where he'd grown up near Winnipeg, Manitoba, eyes that never missed a thing but hid so much. Ian shrugged and glanced down at Pish's chest again. The man was freaking tight, not bulging with muscles so much as carved with sharp definition. There was not a damn ounce of fat on him. Covered in wicked ink, multiple piercings in his ears and nipples, all badass and I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude seeping from his very pores. Ian had never lusted after a man in his life, but Pish? Pish wasn't just any man. "He's my best friend." Forcing what he hoped was a smile to his lips, he brought his eyes back to Pish's face. "Just making sure you're whole, buddy." Pish smirked, like he wasn't buying what Ian was trying to sell, then made a dismissive motion with his hand. "All good. So I'm guessing you don't want to talk about the fact we had sex." The beer that had been going down nice and smooth with that last gulp tried to drown him. Ian sputtered, coughing as the liquid hit his windpipe, handing Pish his beer so he could cover his mouth while he hacked up a lung. Gently rubbing his back, Pish leaned close to whisper in his ear, "This would go so much easier if you admitted you wanted me." "Fucking hell." Ian growled and latched onto Pish's forearms, shoving him against the counter by the fridge. The shock in Pish's eyes gave him some shallow satisfaction as he moved his lips close to the other man's. "You think anything about this is easy? Easy?" His whole body trembled, and he struggled not to drop his gaze as Pishler's eyes hardened. He'd tried to remind himself he was straight, so this thing between him and Pish couldn't happen. The confused emotions were new, and the playoffs were the wrong time to be exploring all this messed up shit. But the man he cared about, the man he loved more than anyone in the damn world beside his grandmother, was gonna turn into a stranger if they didn't clear the fucking air. So he considered everything he hadn't let himself really think about and blurted out every single one. "When Sahara was with us, we were playing. It was a game, and we both knew the rules. I don't know the rules anymore, Sean. Don't call me that." Pish flattened his hands against Ian's chest and shoved. "And you might be a fucking caveman, but you manhandle me in my goddamn house again, and it will be the last time you ever set foot past the door." "Well, shit." Nodding slowly, Ian backed away a bit more, giving Pish some space. He'd gone and fucked up again. He hadn't meant anything bad by grabbing the man, but maybe he should be more careful. He dropped his gaze, staring at the barbed wire again. I'm sorry. It's all right. And I think I get where you're coming from. Pish grabbed another two beers from the still-open fridge and motioned for Ian to follow him to the kitchen table. He sat, waiting for Ian to join him, a relaxed smile sliding across his lips. You're not into guys, but you like all the things I do to you. And I'd be a shitty friend if I didn't warn you you might start thinking there's more between us, because all the feeling good hits the right triggers. Maybe he's right, but what's that to do with us being friends? Absolutely nothing unless you let it. Unless I... No, Pish was right. He was the one who'd gone all cold after they'd joined the Mile High Club and then almost died when the plane forgot how to fucking fly right. He'd figured out that much, which was why he'd given Pish the comic book. The best way he could think of to tell Pish he was sorry about leaving any doubt that he meant it. He shook his head, picking up his beer and taking a sip so he could consider his words carefully. I love you, man. I know. And I love you, too. The way Pish said those three words was no different than him agreeing that Iron Man rocked, or AC/DC playing over and over on a road trip was an awesome idea. No big impact on his life. They were on the same page. One full of words that wouldn't change a goddamn thing. Taking a deep breath, Ian ran his tongue over his bottom lip. So where do we go from here? That depends. You sure you didn't come here to get laid? Pish arched a brow, then sighed when Ian shook his head again. A shame. But we can chill with a movie or something. 2 days, no practice. I've got plenty of time to seduce you. Ian rolled his eyes. You hit a dry spell or something? Jesus, Pish, go take a cold shower. Why should I? You're here, and you're being rather difficult, which is damn sexy. I like a bit of a challenge. Pish gave him a half-smile over the lip of his beer. Wanna bet I can put on your favorite movie and get you too distracted to watch it before the opening credits are done? No, I'm good. Actually, Ian had never been less turned on in his life. Whatever had been between him and Pish the times they'd fooled around was gone, and he wasn't sure why. Can I ask you something as a friend and not a fuck buddy or whatever you've decided I am now? Pishler winced, inhaling sharply. Bruiser, I'm not trying to. Just answer the damn question, Sean. Eyes narrowed, Pish inclined his head. Do I get the talk? The edges of Pish's lips quirked up. White, I will still train you if you want me to. I will suck your dick. Hell, I'd be doing it now if you weren't giving off don't-fucking-touch-me signals. Tightening his grip on his beer bottle, Ian held Pishler's amused gaze. He didn't move as Pish came closer, close enough that the heat of his lips slid over Ian's. He brushed his cheek against Ian's, speaking softly in his ear. But you can't keep me. The game wasn't one Sean wanted to play with White. Probably wasn't one he should play. But the second he'd met White's eyes and caught the man looking at him that way. A few guys and girls had looked at him like that before, like he was a man they could fall in love with, that they were falling in love with, and he'd escaped every time without anyone getting hurt. Too badly, anyway. White had the advantage because Sean had started falling for him a long time ago, but his reaction after they'd fucked had set off alarm bells Sean promised himself a long time ago he'd never ignore again. They could have great sex, figure out how to hold on to their friendship, but if they tread down that muddy path toward an actual relationship, White would destroy him. White was a good man. He cared about people, probably more than he should. But he wasn't built to balance in the middle of the spectrum for long. He was only 27 years old, and one day he'd want a wife and kids. All kinds of normal. As his friend, Sean would make sure White got everything he could ever want, now and in the future. What if you're wrong? What if White doesn't want all you've planned out for him? What if he really wants you? There was no doubt that White wanted him, at the moment. Sean was pretty impressed the man managed to front like he had no interest in getting off, but White was very responsive. The right touch would shut down all his objections, and he'd be fucking putty in Sean's hands. If they weren't teammates, weren't as close as brothers, which was pretty twisted considering how often he thought about sliding his lips over the man's dick again, he'd use every trick he'd honed on those who meant nothing to him. Instead, he made some popcorn and joined White on the couch, laughing at White's scowl when he stole the remote. He put on one of White's top 10 favorite comic book movies, The Incredible Hulk, the newer one. White loved every comic book movie ever made, even the ones that tanked at the box office, but this one always got his full attention. He seemed to relate to the unstable hero. Yet another reason Sean had to keep him at arm's length.
"Not so rough, Steve. That fucking hurts."
Sean's head hit the edge of his bathroom sink as his boyfriend slammed into him, his fingers digging into his hips.
"Slow down. Why the fucking rush?" "My girlfriend's waiting for me, Scheisskopf."
Steve rammed in one last time with a loud groan, one loud enough to be heard throughout the house, but thankfully no one was home. He pulled away, the sudden loss of support dropping Sean to his knees.
"I told you this would be quick. You're not going to be a total fag and cry about it, are you?"
"No." Sean dragged himself to his feet as Steve headed to his bedroom to get his clothes. He stepped gingerly into the room, his whole body aching, and not in a good way.
"And you don't get to call me a fag if you aren't one, Arshkashit. I might be the only one who knows, but..."
Steve closed the distance between them in three short strides, grabbing Sean by the throat and holding him against the wall.
"But what? You know that if you tell anyone, I'll fucking kill you, right?"
"You know I won't."
"Then don't talk shit."
Steve loosened his grip, smiling abruptly.
"We good?"
"Yeah, we're good."
Sean rubbed his throat even as Steve kissed him. The other boy was the biggest, hottest, and most popular jock in their high school. He got why Steve was so paranoid, but he hated it when he got mean and violent. Things would be different after they graduated, though. Steve didn't want to play football anymore. He was doing it for his dad now, but he wanted to be a doctor, and once he graduated medical school, he wouldn't give a shit what anyone thought about the two of them together. Sean just had to be patient. And Sean had been very, very patient. Put up with more bruises than he could count. Not that Steve had been abusive, really, but the one time Sean had slipped up about their relationship in front of the other players... Well, that hadn't been the first or last beating Sean had gotten, but it was the one he'd finally learned from. He didn't just get off on control, he needed it. When he shared with another dom he trusted, he could relax his hold a little, but never with a sub who had a hair trigger that could snap without warning. He trusted White, so he didn't mind training him. But even in that, he'd have to set some very clear limits. If he planned to push White close to the edge, he'd likely restrain him. If he let White in any deeper, he wouldn't have that kind of control.
"Are you afraid of him?"
Sean's lips tightened at the thought. No, he wasn't afraid of White. But the man had gotten physical with friends in the past. He'd gotten physical with Sean in the kitchen, something he would never do with a woman. The man would make a good boyfriend, maybe even a good husband one day, to a woman he would treat gently, who he could protect with all those fierce instincts that were fucking sexy and terrifying all at once.
"Yeah, you got issues, man."
True. Issues he was well aware of and had a handle on. Enough of one to avoid diving in deep enough to drown. He could wade into the wild current of passion with White, but he wasn't reckless enough to let himself be dragged in all the way. That settled, he let himself relax and admired the broad physique of his best friend. White was still wearing far too many clothes, but even in a t-shirt he was a damn fine sight. Big muscles, a strong jaw, and warm blue eyes that didn't hide a thing. They were crystal clear windows to his soul. Windows revealing pure confusion when he glanced over and caught Sean staring at him.
"Sean?" "Fuck, he doesn't listen, does he?"
Sean arched a brow, leaned forward, dropping one hand over White's crotch to squeeze him through his jeans.
"What did I tell you about calling me that?"
White's lips parted. He began to pant as Sean rubbed his swelling cock through his faded blue jeans. His eyes drifted shut.
"Shit, I'm sorry, Pish."
"You're forgiven."
Sean shifted closer to White,
brushing his lips up the side of his throat as White tipped his head back. You into the movie? Shaking his head, then nodding, White groaned.
I... He hesitated, then opened his eyes and latched onto Sean's wrist.
Kiss me. Sean blinked.
He always remembered the hard limits of his subs. Fine, White wasn't exactly his sub, but if he trained the man, he would fall into the same category. White didn't kiss his casual flings. Sean had teased him about how pretty woman that was, but he was curious how the man had avoided kissing the many puck bunnies he fooled around with. Of course, if they had their lips around his dick or his mouth on their cunt, they probably didn't notice he was avoiding anything too intimate. Which meant that was what White wanted from Sean. Something more intimate. He was a simple man, so he might think he wanted that now, but with the right distraction, he'd forget all about it. Sean pulled his wrist free and snagged the button of White's jeans.
Kiss you where?
Fuck this shit. White pushed off the sofa and headed for the door, and Sean almost let him go. But he couldn't. He was the one who'd fucked up this time. White was afraid to lose their friendship, and Sean wasn't helping.
Don't go, White,
Sean chewed at his bottom lip when White stopped, head bowed, shoulders stiff.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
I didn't want you to stop, I just... White groaned, lifting his arms to lace his fingers behind his neck. You know what, you're right. This needs to stop. I want what we had before back. Can we just watch the movie?
Absolutely.
Sean picked up the remote and skipped back to the scene he'd interrupted with his fondling.
Want to grab a couple of beers while you're up?
White laughed.
Sure. And tell me if you change your mind about watching the movie.
Letting out a heavy sigh, White returned with two beers and handed Sean one.
I won't.
They managed to chill out without further issue. After the third movie, apparently they were now doing an X-Men marathon, Sean teased White about having a man-crush on Wolverine. He offered to relieve some pressure. But White's answer never changed. He'd effectively shoved Sean back into the friend zone. Which fucking sucked. Chapter 2
The baby isn't mine anymore. Why can't everyone just leave me the fuck alone?
After what seemed like days of labor, screw the doctor saying how easy it had been, Samantha Carter was fucking drained. Only Oriana Delgado, who was going to be the kid's mother, had been in the room with her at the time, which worked, because Oriana got to hold the baby before anyone else. And if there'd been any doubts that Sam was doing the right thing, seeing the other woman carefully cradling the fragile little bundle would have erased them.
But I've still got a lot to think about, right?
She sighed as she thought over what had gone down after she'd been rushed to the hospital. Jamie Richter, her brother's girlfriend, had wanted to stay with her. She hadn't argued when Sam asked for Oriana, but that didn't make Sam feel any less shitty. Oriana's men, Sloane and Max, had thankfully left when things started getting seriously icky. But in a daze, Sam had suggested they should see their son as soon as he was out of her body.
They're his family.
Seeing them together, she'd been happy. When Jamie came in, she started feeling guilty because apparently the baby looked a bit like Luke, which Sam couldn't comment on, because she hadn't held him yet.
No one let you hold him?
Jamie shook her head, planting a forced smile on her lips.
Do you want to?
No.
No, she didn't want to. But she couldn't explain why, and Jamie wouldn't understand anyway. Thankfully, before she had to think up a good answer, Sloane's father came in. And Oriana's siblings and other people, and that was the last thing Sam remembered because she fell asleep. A nurse woke her up at some point to go to the bathroom. More nastiness, and then Sam got to settle in for a good night's rest. When she woke up, the nurse brought the baby. Cute little thing, but he scared the hell out of Sam. She'd hoped Oriana would stick around to take care of him, but the nurse said Oriana had gone with Max to get something to eat. She'd been with the baby all night.
Time for breakfast.
The nurse was all smiles as she brought the little bundle wrapped in blue to Sam.
Just like last night. Follow his lead.
His lead for what?
Sam blinked at the nurse. I don't think she remembers much of last night, a deep voice came from the corner of the room. Sloane rose from the armchair and stretched. I'll give you some privacy.
Screw privacy.
Maybe it seemed like a lot of people had been in and out nonstop last night driving her nuts, but she needed the kids' parents here. What if they changed their mind? They couldn't get attached to the baby if they weren't around him, and if they didn't take him, what was she going to do?
I'm not ready to be a mother.
Don't go!
Her eyes teared as both the nurse and the baby startled. Damn it. She was already fucking up.
I'm sorry, I just can't...
Shh, it's fine, Sam. Sloane approached the nurse and she placed the baby in his arms. I can stay if you'd like.
Please.
The panic building up in Sam's chest lessened as she watched how comfortably Sloane held his little boy. The man was huge, with eyes that looked completely black at first glance and a deep scar cutting down his face, which made him seem dangerous. In a purely fuck-he's-hot kind of way. The type of guy she'd totally go for if he wasn't involved. Or even if he had been, to be honest. She'd never bothered asking any of her exes if they were single. Throwing herself at anyone stopped being a priority after she got herself knocked up, though. Her life had become a colossal mess, and she'd never been more alone. Every kick reminded her it wasn't only her life she was screwing up. But now, the way Sloane looked at the baby, the world seemed like less of a clusterfuck. The kid would have the perfect daddy. Two of them, actually. But then he brought the baby to her. She bit her lip, staring up at Sloane. He needs to be fed, sweetie. We talked about him needing that first milk that comes in. Sloane sat on the edge of the bed. If he hadn't been holding the baby, his presence would have been comforting. Instead, she was trying not to freak out about the whole feeding thing, and she wasn't sure how to tell him she didn't want to do it. His brow furrowed when she inched back. She dropped her gaze to the sheets covering her legs.
Last night wasn't enough?
When he shifted away, she looked up to see his dark eyes soften with understanding. Sloane stood, still holding the baby close. Unless the doctor thinks you need to pump for your own health, last night is enough. Do you want anything? I can text Max to pick you up a snack or whatever.
I'm good.
She leaned back, breathing easier now that no one was going to make her breastfeed. The nurse didn't look too happy, but she just checked Sam's chart before crisply stating she would go prepare a bottle. Sam pretended to sleep until the woman came back and left. Then she snuck a peek at Sloane, who'd returned to the armchair, baby tucked in the crook of one big arm as he fed the kid like he'd been doing it forever. She's gone. You can get up now and take a shower if you want. Sloane lifted the baby up to his shoulder, gently rubbing his back. Unless you'd rather wait until we get home. The doctor said you'd be released today. He had to be the most perfect man in the world. Sam sat up and grinned.
I just want to get out of here.
Hospitals were depressing and she was so done. But maybe that sounded selfish. The baby was fine, right? She should probably have asked about him before going on about how eager she was to leave. She made a face.
He's doing good, isn't he? And the doctor seemed happy with how...
She groaned as she glanced down at the baby.
I suck. What's his name?
James Weston Callahan Perrin. Sloane chuckled when she blinked at him. Yes, it's a mouthful. But we talked it over and decided to use both Max and my father's names.
Not Oriana's father?
Sam didn't want to dig, so she just smiled and nodded.
That's a good name.
Sloane's brow furrowed. Did you have any names you'd considered?
No, I think I always knew.
Her throat tightened. Yeah, she wasn't ready to be a mom, but sometimes what she was doing hit her. Like she should have tried. Maybe she wouldn't have been a great mom, but was she being totally pathetic just handing off her kid? Rather than pushing her to continue, Sloane simply waited, his expression still calm and supportive. She took a deep breath.
When I felt him move inside me, I think it was the first time that I ever had to really worry about anyone else. I tried to picture my life with him in it, and I couldn't. When I was living with Jamie, I pictured her taking care of the baby. I thought about going back to school, making something of myself. but the second I considered doing it alone with the kid, I panicked.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?